And we will continue to look at faith, and maybe from a little different perspective. And we will look at something difficult, a little difficult to understand in this first letter. So let's get right into our scripture for today. 1 John chapter 5, I'll be looking at verses 6 through 12. I will go ahead and read all of that right now. And we'll just be covering a small amount of it. 1 John chapter 5, starting with verse 6. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. After reading these verses, I cannot help but realize that we've had many messages on the topic of who Jesus is. And we have looked at having life in Christ and see that without him, there's death and judgment. So much of this may seem repetitive, but looking at it from the perspective of John, John felt it was necessary. He felt it was necessary to repeat these themes in different ways so that his point would be fully understood and the people would be confident in their position in Christ. Though much of what we read here is clear, it is verse 6 that many, including myself, have struggled with to fully understand what John is meaning. We are not alone either. One commentator had written that verse 6 is probably the most perplexing verse of all of John's letters. Water and blood. What does this verse mean? And John spends several verses talking about it and their ability to testify with the Spirit. They testify. So it's important. It is important to John. And the way it is written, John expects his readers to already know what he means. Again, John is likely writing to the church, a church meeting in Ephesus, and we have to assume that they already knew what John was referring to. But here we are, we're kind of scratching our heads. Well, what does John mean by this? And if you spend time researching this or looking into a study Bible, it is likely that you may find several theories in which water and blood, what they refer to. But that's just that. We find theories. There are some things Scripture is not always easily understood. I mean, this is a fact. This is a letter that is written to a specific audience. And both the writer and the audience, they both have additional information that we simply don't have. But I would like to look. I noted that there are multiple theories, and I thought about sharing with you a number of them, but I think I'm just going to kind of narrow it down a little bit. And kind of give you what a general consensus is. And whether that is what John is really referring to or not, we're still going to learn a little more about Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus. So either way, we've got something to learn, something to talk about. Many believe that when John speaks of the water and the blood, he is referring to the totality of Jesus' ministry while on earth. We first see Jesus' baptism, which is said to be the water. Something that we were talking a little bit about in Sunday school this morning is looking at baptism. And looking at Jesus' baptism just a little bit. But it was at his Jesus' baptism that that Jesus is declared the Son of God. And it marks the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The blood is said to be mark his crucifixion, and that's the fulfillment of his ministry. So it is at the crucifixion that he obtained even more power and authority at his glorification. I know I'm using big words. I'm going to go through this again and just look at these a little closer. But something to know is that John's letter has been highlighting Christ's full humanness and his full godness. So much false teachings have come into the churches at that time that they've been making its way into the church congregations or those meeting, and we have seen over and over again that John gives a proper view of who Christ is. And that's kind of why many believe this water and blood, the water would be Jesus' baptism, the blood would be his crucifixion, because it really flows with the context. But again, that'll be something you can decide. So what happened at Jesus' water baptism? Did Jesus become the Son of God then? Well, no. Christ's birth tells us that he came through a virgin, making his birth supernatural. We are told in Scripture that before Abraham, Jesus was. We know that Jesus, from other Scripture, we know that he was a part of God long before he came to earth. And though his birth is important to that supernatural coming, it must not have been something that John needed to address in this letter. But Jesus' birth was foretold and prophesied long before he came. The Gospels highlight that. But after his baptism, we begin seeing witness accounts in Scripture of Jesus' ministry. Let's look at his baptism in Scripture. It'll be Matthew chapter 3, starting with verse 13. Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. I think I'm missing a little bit there. Give me a second here. Heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." I could teach a whole sermon just on those verses. But the Holy Spirit came on Jesus. And as we saw in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and empowered people to accomplish what God willed for them. This is marking a specific moment where Jesus was anointed for the work he had come to accomplish. And after the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended on him, God speaks. Boy, that would have been interesting to be there, to see Jesus baptized. And as he come out of the water, something supernatural happens. And the Holy Spirit didn't just come and just hit him. He came down, even though as powerful as the Holy Spirit is, descended on Jesus. And then we're told that the heavens opened up. What did that look like? And the voice of God could be heard. And God says, "This is my Son in whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." Wow. What a day that would have been to witness that, to witness God confirming his relationship with his Son Jesus, confirming what John the Baptist already knew, that Jesus it was and is the Son and the Messiah whom had been prophesied to come for a long time. And God is saying he's well pleased with him for fulfilling his plan of salvation. Christ came in the flesh at his birth, but Christ's ministry of teaching, healing, miracles, and the proclamation of the coming kingdom and the good news begins at his baptism. His ministry marks, or his baptism marks the beginning of his earthly ministry. Then the crucifixion, that really marks the climax. It marks the end of his earthly ministry, the conclusion of what he came to do. And I believe that this is the blood that John is speaking of. Jesus gave up his life for us. But in the crucifixion, Jesus brings glory to the Father, and the Father glorifies the Son. We see this in John chapter 17, starting with verse 1. John 17:1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." The Son is glorified along with the Father with the completion of God's plan for our salvation and eternal life with him. Let's look at Jesus' final words. That's John 19, starting with verse 28. John 19, 28. "Knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.'" Now he is on the cross at this moment. He's been hanging there for a little while. "A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." With his death, Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who brings hope, fulfilled God's plan for salvation. From the moment Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God knew that this plan would take place, and that at that very moment, it is finished. John tells us in a little earlier in our letter that we looked at, 1 John 2:2, that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's what Jesus did for us. Therefore, Jesus' water baptism and his crucifixion are seen as a totality of Jesus' ministry from the beginning of his ministry to the end of his ministry. That that ministry testifies of who Jesus is, of what Jesus did. But let's pause for a moment here. We have to remember that as John is writing this letter, He is aged in years. I think of an old man trying to write out this letter. He has seen and witnessed so much. He knew Jesus personally. Yet some that were coming into the church were teaching that Jesus wasn't a real man. Or some were teaching that Jesus didn't really die on the cross. Some were teaching that Jesus was just a prophet. But John knew the truth. He knew the truth. And he writes this letter to help others understand. And if you need evidence, if you need the evidence to make up your mind, John, on who Jesus is or what he did, John is saying, look at the water and the blood. Look at his beginning of his ministry and when he was baptized. Look at the blood that was shed on the cross. Look at everything in between. Look at Jesus' life and ministry. I would also include his birth and resurrection. But without Jesus, there is no need for a baptism of repentance. Without Jesus, there is no hope of a blessed future in paradise because we're all facing death. Without Jesus, there is no life. And John has been making this point over and over again. And the same Holy Spirit that was in Christ can be in you if only you have faith in Christ. And the Holy Spirit will testify to the same truth. God's testimony that we find in our scripture. But at the church that John was writing to, they didn't have much scripture at the time. At least the New Testament portion. And Christ's baptism and crucifixion and the Holy Spirit, they're real and they all point to the truth. They're not arbitrary. They're not based on feelings. They're not based on thoughts or perceptions. They speak the truth of Christ. And they speak of his great love for each and every one of us. Let's look on in our next few verses. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. When you believe and put your faith in Christ, you have that testimony. When you truly believe, what I mean by that is it's the belief, the faith that changes our life because of what we are giving into. This morning in Sunday school, a term came up, sacrifice. It's when you believe and have faith so much that you're willing to sacrifice all of this because you want all of this. What is that message? What is it that the message and the testimony? We're given it right here that God has given us eternal life. We put our faith in Jesus, and we're told that God has given us eternal life. This eternal life is given only through his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you believe in who he is and what he did for you? Do you have faith in him? That's where John is pointing us in the direction of Christ. This whole letter, but right here, is the same. So I'll leave you with those questions.